from across the Volunteer State, the countdown to kickoff with your exclusive scouting report. Welcome to the Coach's Meeting. Coach to Coach.
One demon remains from the abyss of the Tennessee football program's last decade. That is beating the Georgia Bulldogs. Maybe the best opportunity in quite a while to do that comes Saturday night in Athens.
Well, both Alabama and Georgia have dominated this conference the past decade, and that certainly includes the Vols. You know, interestingly enough, this is a good, very good Georgia team. This is a very good Tennessee team, and I think, quite frankly, the last 10 years, this is probably Tennessee's really best opportunity to beat Georgia, especially on the road.
Yeah, well, in one sentence to me, the game comes down to turnovers. Vols have 9 turnovers in the last 4 games they've caused on defense. They're 6th in the SEC. Bulldogs rank 11th on offense in the SEC with 15 turnovers this season. Turnovers.
Of course, the health of Nico Iamaliava will also be one of the big topics as we head toward kickoff. Playing well against Mississippi State before the injury.
I thought, Larry, he was very relaxed on target. He was poised. He was running aggressively. And at the right times. You know, a quarterback can run, but sometimes he's running at the wrong times. There was no panic in his game, either throwing the football, and when he took off running, it was for positive gains, and it was running the right way. He was getting down, protecting himself. I thought he was very poised in this game.
He's really had 8 straight good, really good quarters going back to the Alabama game, the last half of the Alabama game, then the Kentucky game, and then, of course, the first half against Mississippi State.
Plenty of lessons to get to from the Bulldogs' win. We'll do that in less than 10 minutes. As for Georgia licking its wounds from the Ole Miss game, is it fair to call that a defining game in Oxford for Lane Kiffin?
Oh, hey, very much so. It stood up to the criticism of not playing up to the competition some this season. That's been some of the criticism for Ole Miss. They put themselves back in the playoff picture. Huge, huge win. Really, really a big accomplishment.
Now, the most impressive thing about that win was defensively. From Ole Miss. We know Ole Miss is going to move the football on offense and score points. They held Georgia to only 1 touchdown, and that touchdown came on a drive of only 29 yards after an Ole Miss turnover, the first one of the game, 29-yarder there. So impressive defense, and if they continue playing like that, they've got a good chance of still getting, certainly in the college football playoff, they got a chance of also, they're one of about 6 teams, got a chance of also still getting into the SEC championship game.
Meantime, Alabama eliminating LSU with a beatdown in Baton Rouge. What do you make of the Tigers right now under Brian Kelly?
They still are a middle-of-the-road at best defensive team. That's their problem. And now with 3 overall losses, the only way that they're going to make the playoffs is if they win the SEC championship game. 3 losses will not get you in, even in the Southeastern Conference, unless you win the SEC championship game and get that automatic bid.
Well, and this is what has to happen for them, Coach. Their defense has to catch up to the altitude that their offense has been. And until they do that, they're not going to be an upper tier Southeastern Conference team.
You know, Mac, Larry, one of the things that's kind of unusual or a little odd to me is they got great talent down there on defense. They've had, and they certainly have the availability to get it. This is Brian Kelly's 3rd year. You know, the first year they weren't very good on defense. Well, you understood that 2nd year, but into his 3rd year now and still playing, as I said, they're the bottom half of this league defensively. And that's, that shouldn't happen at LSU. Let's just put it like that.
And they're kind of representative now of a question that I'd love your feedback on. And that is with the playoff, and now the storyline in November is all about the playoff system. Even more so than it was with the 4-team system that we had before. When you are knocked out this month, will it be hard to keep guys interested, do you think?
Well, I would like to think not, but this is a new era of football. Transfer portal, name, image, likeness, 12-team playoff, as you mentioned. We see players who in the middle of the year decide that, hey, I'm going to redshirt so I can transfer out. I'm sure a lot of these players, as with most teams, quite frankly, not just LSU, they have players on there that probably know they're going to be leaving after the end of the year. So, again, I would like to think not, but Mac, it wouldn't surprise me if some did.
Well, this is a new phenomenon in collegiate football right now because, and you bring up a very interesting point that I think everybody needs to listen to. You've got players that have opted out early this season across the country because they know they're going to transfer because they've got the ability to do that. And especially if you want to be at a place that is playing for it all and you're not in it, I mean, I can see this being an issue, yes.
South Carolina beats Vanderbilt last week. I don't think anyone saw this coming from the Gamecocks this season. What do you see on film?
Well, Larry, you need to watch South Carolina closely because they've been playing aggressive defense all season. The pressure has been excellent, even in losses. This has been the strength of this team all year, and they can bring a lot of pressure. This defense, I think, keeps them in games. If you haven't been watching South Carolina very closely, and I know all their opponents have, that's the strength of this defense, and it didn't surprise me a bit because they've been playing defense like that all season.
Now, we got several teams in this league that play really good up front defense. South Carolina, we have not talked a whole lot about, but boys, we've gone through this year. They've gotten better and better up there, and they are a physical, physical defense. Also have a young quarterback, a mobile quarterback who can run. We've talked all year long about if you have a mobile quarterback who can run and knows what he's doing, they can put pressure on you. But I'm with Mac without question. It's that defense. And then also, you know, Coach Beamer, kind of like his daddy, they are always really good in the special teams end of it. They've made some plays there also. But this team's all built around a really tough defense to both run and throw against.
This is Coach to Coach with former University of Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews and former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach Dave McGinnis, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Bucks, cash, bread, coin, dough, bank, loot, cheddar, whatever you call it, the cash instant games from the Tennessee Lottery have lots of it. Four great games absolutely loaded to the brim with top prizes from $50 to $1,000. Now that's a whole lot of cabbage, moolah, cheese, dinero, Benjamins. Well, you get the idea. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Vols trying to snap a seven-game losing skid against Georgia. Bulldogs have actually won 12 of the last 14 in this series. This is Coach to Coach. We examine the lessons from the Mississippi State game. Tennessee's defense started this season stingy, but we thought, well, let's see how it goes in the SEC. Well, Doug, the masterful job continues.
Larry, you know, I go back to 1980 when I first went to Tennessee, and I've followed them very closely since then. It's been some great defenses. 98 national championship team, one of the very, very best. I don't think I've ever seen one, though, that gives up as few of points. Six conference games right now. Tennessee's given up 15, 19, 17, 17, 18, and 14. They're giving up only 16 points per game. That's by far the best in this league and one of the very best in the country. But defensively, they have improved that front, and then with the secondary now coming along, they are truly one of the best defense. They're not going to give up many points if the offense doesn't turn the ball over in the opponent's end a good amount of the time. So, but yes, this is a defense that has gotten better and better and better. And we're 3/4 of the way through the Southeastern Conference schedule, and they still haven't given up 20 points in a single game yet, Mac.
Well, and here's the thing. Just the last ball game, 9 tackles for loss by 9 players. That highlights his strength. Playing aggressive defense in waves, especially across the front. They're using 12 to 13 rotating early in the season. That has played huge dividends now down the stretch.
Well, State had 12 possessions in this ball game. They had 2 touchdowns, all right? They had 2 turnovers. They gave up the ball once on downs, but 7 Of their other drives, seven of the 12 drives, they had 8 yards or less that ended in punts.
Well, look, they had 179 rushing yards, and on the surface you say, well, that's too many. When you really look at it, and there were some fit issues, again, especially versus 5- and 6-man fronts, but if you dig deeper into it and look at it, that was a game plan defensively. They were going to smother the pass. Mississippi State was not going to beat them running the football, and they knew that. So going in, they basically they played a dome defense in the back end, took somebody out of the front to do that. They dared the Bulldogs to try to attempt to win it on the ground, and they couldn't. So to me, that was a good game plan.
Very apparent early, and this actually has been a little problem the last couple of ball games. The run fits between the safety and the linebackers and the safeties, one or the other on that. Remember, though, 2 of those linebackers, both the linebackers are starting now, true sophomores. While they're playing at a high level, they make a few mistakes in there. But if and when Tennessee defensively gets those run fits settled up front, they're going to be even better. You're exactly right, though. The game plan was we're not going to let Mississippi State beat us throwing the football. Indeed, they didn't.
Yeah, and you still need to be, coach. You still got to be sound on gap fits regardless of the scheme, because 2-in-1 gap is never okay. That happens some with whatever front you're attempting to deploy. So they've got to get that cleaned up.
4 sacks on the night, but that really doesn't tell the whole story, because Mississippi State's quarterback looked troubled all evening long.
Well, to me, Larry, Mississippi State had already shown that even when the quarterback was forced to run, the results were not going to be dramatic. He was under duress most of the game when he was throwing the football. When he did escape outside, it wasn't devastating to the Vols. So Mississippi State, they put him on their left foot. And when you put an offense on their left foot, make them doing something they're really not good at, that's in your favor.
Well, there's a lot of pressure up front by the Vols front. A lot of twisting inside, a lot of movement. Even when you don't get sacks, and even when you'll get a lot of pressure, pushing that pocket back, which Tennessee's become really good at, put it in that quarterback's face, that is always really big. Hey, Tennessee knew that Mississippi State was going to have to throw the ball to move it. Mississippi State knew they were going to have to throw the ball to move it, and it worked out in Tennessee's favor.
For the Vols, Brooks, McCoy, Pierce, Thielander, they were very active. These 4 were very productive. But so was the entire unit. Tackles and timely disruption plays, going with what Coach is saying about pressure up the middle, regardless of how you do it. That was evident with these 4 guys a lot, the production that they had. But there was pressure all night from Tennessee.
Well, they only gave up 92 yards of passing yards. That's on 38% passing. So when you're not even completing 4 out of 10 and only have 92 yards, there really wasn't much of a way that Mississippi State was going to win this ball game on offense.
So I'm curious, how does that change things for a defense when you know talent-wise, scheme-wise, that you have the upper hand?
Well, game plan defensively for Tennessee was to force State to run. Don't let them throw the deep passes or even some deep medium passes. Make them throw underneath and then come up and tackle them. And what it does on that is not only does Tennessee know they have to throw, Mississippi State knows they have to throw. So what do you start doing? We're talking about the quarterback being looked like he was a little nervous back there. Maybe that's not quite the word, but he certainly wasn't comfortable. And when you have that, that's when you're going to have mistakes. That's when you're going to have sacks. That's when you're going to have an opportunity to make big plays. And that was the game plan by Tennessee. And I thought this was one of the better game plans Tennessee has executed. A little bit different, you know, and they gave up more rush yards than they probably normally would. But it was because they were committing so many players to the pass to make sure that the one thing that could beat them, which was the passing game, was not going to beat them in this ball game.
Well, and when you do that, what you basically do is you are telling the front, play the run on the way to the quarterback. Play the that's much different than if somebody's going to pound you. But in this instance, they were playing the run on the way to the quarterback and covering them up in the back end.
Couple of takeaways, including Boo Carter with an interception.
Oh, that was a great read in anticipation, Larry, from the slot on a two-step slant. He basically ran the pattern. At the interception point, better than the receiver. That was textbook.
You know, Boo's getting better and better. He's a young man out of Chattanooga. I had the opportunity to watch him play in person a couple of different times. Getting better and better. He has excellent, and I mean excellent, ball skills in man coverage. Mac just mentioned it. He's one guy back there. You don't have to tell him to go get the football. He's gonna go get the football. He's also getting much better on contain and also his blitzing. That nickel position, that star position, what Tennessee calls it, that's the most difficult position to play in the secondary because not only do you have to have man coverage, you got to be a good tackler on the outside on contain, you blitz a good bit, and you're normally covering a really quick or fast nickel slot receiver, and again, he's just getting better and better and better. And this guy's, you know, he was playing high school ball this time last year.
Kicking game, nice rebound for a young kicker, and teammates really showed him the support.
Max Gilbert, huge bounce back performance, very critical bounce back mentally and mechanically for Gilbert. Very critical. Clutch kicks will be needed, and he's going to be depended on down the stretch of this season. Especially in the SEC ball games. That was a huge plus and a huge relief for this team.
This kicking unit, and I mean all phases of it, has been good all season. This was, I thought, their best game by far. All phases. Boo Carter just talked about him. He had 56 yards in punt returns. Net punting by Ross was 49.3. Fantastic. If you can average or net, if you can get a net of 40 on a punt, that's great. Really good, 49.3, not many of those. Gilbert was 4 for 4, as y'all just mentioned. Only 2 yards of opponent's punt returns. Excellent kicking game. When you play that like that on kicking teams, you're going to win a lot of ball game because the kicking area of it, don't discuss it as much as you do offense and defense. That is the winning edge in big ball games, tight ball games, anywhere you play the football.
Things are close. Special teams can be the difference. Now, every aspect in the game, like the Vols in Georgia is setting up to be, will be critical. Field position metrics and capitalizing on all scoring opportunities is huge in games like this.
When you play defense like Tennessee plays defense, stingy, tough yardage, make everything tough yardage, when you kick that ball down somewhere around the 25, 20, inside that 30-yard line, there's not many teams that are going to take, without a big splash play, that are going to take the ball and move it 10, 12 plays to score on you. And that's why the kicking game is – they're kind of married back with defense. Defense and kicking kind of go along together. Certainly extra points and field goals are on offense. But the majority of the good kicking, that puts your defense in position to play good, stingy defense.
Timeout call. Back to the analysis next. Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details in Clip Notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
SEC Saturday, Texas is at Arkansas. Longhorns can't turn the ball over on the road. They've had multiple turnovers in five of the last seven games. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff between the former Southwest Conference foes. Auburn hosts ULM. Kentucky tangles with Murray State. Our lessons continue from the coach-to-coach roundtable from the Mississippi State win. Half a football from backup Gaston Moore. Doug, what'd you see?
Well, we saw exactly what you would expect out of a fifth-year senior who has been in this system for four of those 5 years. Remember, he was with Coach Heupel at UCF as a quarterback, came up here, transferred up here when Coach Heupel got the job, and really played steady and well, ran the offense, didn't do anything that was going to hurt him, got him in and out of bad plays. He's a valuable player to have. Most teams now, their backup quarterback is a younger player. Tennessee's one of the very few that has an older player. And, again, he came in that second half and performed, I'm sure, just exactly the way that Coach Heupel wanted him to perform.
Yeah, and you can see they were not afraid to have him take shots. And so there was no restrictor plates on him when he came in there. And being in this system and being a veteran quarterback, that you can see the difference. And it really helped them. And they didn't put the choke on him at all. They let him throw the ball.
Well, and he knows the offense better than Nico does, quite frankly, because of the fact that he's been with Coach Heupel so long. He'll throw to the correct receiver, at least in the right area. He'll get the offense out of bad running plays and into better running plays. And, as Mac just mentioned, he can throw the deep ball pretty well. I think we're going to see the game plan was throw more deep balls against Mississippi State. I think we're going to see that the rest of the year, regardless who the quarterback is.
Dylan Sampson now, three straight games with a fumble. Dave, how big is that as a concern?
No, ball security is of the top level of importance. It could be the difference in a close game like you're getting ready to be in. It just cannot happen. Dylan Sampson is their best weapon offensively on a consistent basis. He also embodies the physicality of this, but he has to secure the football.
Yeah, one thing that I love about this young man, and I love a lot about him, is when he fumbles, boy, he is disappointed in himself. But, you know, two of those three fumbles were really good plays by defense. The first one that he had was a couple of games ago, the defense did a good job of stripping that ball and ripping it out of there. And this one, hat, helmet, right on that ball. Now, again, if you carry it correctly and have it protected, you should not fumble. But, again, those were two good defensive plays on both those two.
Well, saying all of that, Coach, this guy's a horse. He is a horse, and you need to saddle him up and ride him, because when he plays with a fervor and an effort that, I mean, permeates that whole team, not only the offense but the defense also.
It's been fun watching him develop. He came in as a speed player, was third team his freshman year, played against a couple of behind a couple of really good players, played a little bit. needed to get bigger, needed to get stronger, needed to become a better blocker. He worked on all those things. He is a physical player now. You know, Mac, one of the things, and of course that was a position I coached for so many years and played 1 year. When you have a running back that does not fall backwards, and he doesn't, he falls forward. If you add those up at the end of the game, it gets you another 15, 20 yards and some key first and tens. And this guy, he's got a good spin move that not many players have. And he also falls forward and picks up that added yardage that at the end of a ball game certainly adds up.
But I thought it was a great, I thought it was a really nice physical job by the blocking unit. They were able to move people. You could see movement constantly at the line of scrimmage. Mississippi State front seven, I thought they played one of the better games physically. I mean, they were going after. Mississippi State was laying it out there, but Vols won the bully ball contest.
We also got a chance to see some extensive time from Peyton Lewis. Doug, what do you see from him and his running style?
Well, number one, Deshaun Bishop is out now, so he has moved up into that second position. He has tremendous speed. He was the 100-meter champion in Virginia, which has a lot of good runners over there. He runs for power. He's physical. He'll only going to get better with reps, and he's physical enough to pass protect. He's a young player that came in that didn't have to put on a lot of weight, didn't have to put on a lot of strength. I have to believe, you never know, but I have to believe that this is the next running back that'll be coming up when Sampson leaves, whenever that is, to be the next really top quality Tennessee running back.
Well, you've got a speed guy that's got power too, so only good things are ahead for him when you really start looking at it. He just needs reps. He needs reps. He needs reps. He needs reps. But this kid's got something to him.
I tell you, for Tennessee fans, he reminds me a lot of Travis Henry in his build, he's faster than Travis Henry, but that type of player. And if you follow Travis Henry, pretty good one to be compared to.
Coaching staff talking to Nico before the Mississippi State game about putting more air on his deep ball. Dave, that's a term that's thrown around a lot, and I'm sure there are a lot of us that don't completely understand what the coaches are saying. What does he mean?
I mean, give the vertical receiver a chance to separate and run under the throw. That's what you do, and especially when you have speed, which they do. You're throwing that moonshot to give them a chance to run under it, rather than flatlining the deep shot. And when you start flatlining the deep shot, you overthrow the route. And so that's exactly what they're talking about.
This is a young man. I've watched him in practice a lot, and they work a lot on throwing the deep ball. They warm up throwing more deep passes than any team that I have ever been around. And something that Coach Mack has talked so much about really over the years on this, which is so important. Mack and I were both secondary coaches. And the one thing you know is that in a combat catch where it's one-on-one, those old 50-50 balls, we call them, they're really more than 50-50 balls in favor of the offense, because normally your offensive receivers, which in Tennessee's case are taller, they're used to going up and fighting for the football. And I think that's what this staff and Coach Heupel, in particular Coach Halsey, the quarterback coach, has done. He said, listen, instead of throwing it 5 yards over his head where nobody's going to catch it, you know, if you're going to underthrow it a little bit, we'll take that, because we'll come back and outfight at the very least. And you know, Mac, the other part of that is, if you throw a 40-yard pass down the field on third down and it gets intercepted, that's kind of like a punt. So, but overthrowing it, that's not good. He's gotten much better at that, by the way, as this season's gone along.
Thornton and White, their catch and run, that's exactly what you're looking for with the explosives out of here. Both of those players are vertical threats. And give them a chance to make a play on the ball, and then explosive catch and run, it's going to happen. That's going to happen. Those are backbreakers for a defense. Get them the ball and let them catch and run.
Cannot worry about interceptions throwing deep. If you don't, you have a tendency to overthrow those anyway, and the good quarterback coaches I've been around, they make those quarterbacks understand that, hey, you know, make it a 50-50 ball at the very least. We can't take a 5-yard overthrow very often. It'll happen every now and then, but if a quarterback can't get that under control, he's going to have a hard time playing in this league.
Red zone offensive issues kept Mississippi State in this game maybe a bit longer than you would have liked.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, Larry, you'd like to be able to run it in, and that threatens the defense to tighten down. And when throwing, you need quicker decisions. down there, especially in that low red zone, the plus six to the goal line. Quicker decisions have to be made down there, and that has to be a smoother operation, absolutely.
Now, why is it when you get inside the 10-yard line, you look at statistics, you kick about as many field goals as you do touchdowns? Because, again, that's the easiest area of the football field to defend. As a defensive coach, you don't want them down there, but you do know once they get down there, they're going to have to be able to run the football in. Very few times are you going to be able to throw the ball against a good defense. Against an outstanding defense like Tennessee, it's not going to happen very often at all. So when you get inside, I had a coach I played for and coached for one time tell me that, and I think he's exactly right. The best place to have an offense, if you're on the defensive side, is on the 10-yard line going in, because they can't pick up a first and 10 without scoring, and they got to go 10 yards of a 20-yard field to get that first and 10. And it gets a little bit tougher when you're down there.
You know, and even at 23-14, the game was close but not concerning, if that makes sense. Even without Nico in the game offensively, they suffered a little bit of continuity, but they were able to lean on the run game and the defense. So, really, 23-14, you win the ball game, you get out of there. As I said, close, not concerning.
Mac, my eyes watching that game told me one story, and then when I looked at the statistics, I got a completely different view of it, because looking at it, I didn't think Tennessee really played that well. And I think most of it was because they gave up so many run yards. But then you start looking at it, 7 scores on offense, 4 field goals, and 3 touchdowns. Over 50% of their drives ended up in getting points. Again, looking at the stats was much different for me than my eyes seeing it during the game.
One stat that looked good, Doug, 6 for 50, penalty numbers down.
Well, that's one of the best things I saw as we head into this stretch of the last 3 games now and into this conference stretch in November. Much, much better in this area. And then, you know, you look at the yards and you look at the number of penalties, but what you really look at as a coach is what kind of penalties are they? You know, were they a hustle penalty? But when you get face masks and holding pre-snap and post-snap, that's what you're looking at. There were very, very few pre- or post-snap penalties in this game. And listen, that's going to be a key this week. There's going to be a lot of crowd noise playing on the road down in Athens. But Tennessee has done that part of it pretty well. You just simply, no matter which team you are, you simply can't put yourself in 1st and 15 or 2nd and 12 or 13 because of a pre-snap penalty, not against a good defensive team.
Hey, speaking of penalties, Dave, explain the pulling penalty on Tennessee's first drive. I'm not sure I've seen that one.
Well, in the rule book, here it is. You can push a runner towards the line to gain, but it's illegal to pull a runner. That's always been a penalty. It's always a rule, but it's a rare call. But it's clear as day that you can push them, you can't pull them.
I thought Matt Austin, who was the former SEC official who was on the broadcast, they asked him about it, and I think he hit it right on the head. It's not something that's called very often, and rarely called when you get some offensive lineman pushing and then another pulling. But as Mac said, it by the rule book, it is a penalty in this ball game. It got called. You know, there's an old saying out there, it doesn't catch up with you till it catches up with you. Well, it caught up with him on that one particular play. One quick thing on that, though, Larry, I was talking to Mac about this. You know, that was a 4th down play, so they moved it back, gave him a 5-yard penalty. Tennessee threw a touchdown on the next play, so it was probably worked out pretty well for Tennessee in that instance.
Get inside the huddle. Pickens, Matthews, and you. Coach to coach. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a ride share. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Hey there, I've been hired by the Tennessee Lottery to celebrate every time there's a woohoo! A winner across the state. Truthfully, it's a little more work than I expected. I had no woohoo! idea that Tennessee Lottery players win an average of $3.6 million every day. That's
woohoo!
A whole lot of moolah. So play today for your chance to win
woohoo!
Big. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Woohoo!
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Saturday's lineup across the Southeastern Conference includes Alabama and Mercer. LSU tangles with Florida Saturday afternoon. What do you make of the decision to stay with Billy Napier in Florida?
I chose to keep continuity in the recruiting and the transfer portal mode. Take that $27 million buyout that now go towards NIL and transfer portal players. And I think they made the decision quickly because of the calendar that Doug always talks about. That has been moved up, that is so important. That's why they did it.
I think three things in particular. The early signing date, again, which is the Wednesday after the SEC championship game. Then the early transfer portal, which is the Tuesday after the SEC championship game. So when you get both of those, one before and one after, that's part of it. But I'll tell you the other thing that I hadn't heard many people talk about. They did this before the last five games of the season, all right? And here's why I think they did it. Those last five games were Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State. So what were the chances that if they wait till the end to make this announcement, Florida, you never know, but they're probably going to have another two, three, maybe even four losses in that group. I think they got that off the plate, the athletic director did, so all of the fans knew it. And quite honestly, I think Billy Napier deserves another year. But you can bet he's only going to have one more year.
Also Saturday, Missouri's at South Carolina. Gamecocks slowed the roll of Vandy last week. Now can they move the football with the run? Because this Missouri team has a strong secondary, one of the best in the SEC right now. You know, we're talking about Billy Napier, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but gosh, it sure does seem that we are seeing a lot more staff changes in college football this year. A lot of coordinators being fired. It doesn't seem like we've seen that many in previous season. As former coordinators yourself, what do you think is fueling that?
I don't think there's any doubt, and you're right. That has not been something that happens often, but I think it kind of gets back to our last discussion on that. Somebody has to pay. And it's not going to be – if they're not going to fire the head coach, they have to have somebody out there. And that's normally going to be one of the coordinators on that. And it's, you know, it's just kind of a way of football. As Mac and I know so very, very well, you know, wherever you are, you're going to get fired at some point for some reason on that. And I will say this, you know, I'd just soon be fired before having to go out and lose a couple more games where I got a chance to kind of get my resume together if they're going to fire me. But and normally it is almost always Mac, a coordinator on one side of the ball. And I think, again, if you're not going to make a change to the head football coach, you have to do something, I think, for the fan base.
Yeah, and the other thing that factors into this, if things are not going well and you've got a choice to make, these contracts now that are written, the massive buyouts for head coaches' contracts are really huge. So the next guy in line, the coordinator.
I think Billy Napier's, if they had fired him after this year, was $27 million. Now, that isn't up there near where Jimbo Fisher was, but that's still a lot of money.
Here's the really tough truth about coaching at a high level. You know that if you don't have the impact on your staff, your whole staff knows if you're not doing well, somebody's going to pay. You just know that. So once somebody's fired, you just move on because that's the way this business works.
I'm curious, though, we talk about when head coaches are fired, for example, that what's the impact on the student athletes? But the coordinators, the position coaches, they really are more in tune with those student athletes, Doug. They have more of that personal relationship than often a head coach does.
Yeah, no question. And it's because they work with them every day. You know, the head coach has many more things that he needs to do. Now, some coaches, certainly with your best players, the head coach is certainly close with them. And it can affect it. I am sure that when a coordinator leaves, we'll see it after this year, you're probably going, wherever he goes or wherever that coach goes, you're probably going to see some players that would transfer out with him, especially not only position coaches, Mac, but especially those players that coach who was fired actually recruited and helped bring into the program. Because normally that's where you get close to players when you're recruiting them, because you spend so much time with them over a 2 or 3 year period getting to know them and their families. But that certainly is a factor without question. And I'm sure it's a factor that before head coach fires a coach, you know, what type of relationship does he have with his players? What type of recruiter is he? You know, that sometimes, many times, if you're not a coordinator, being a good recruiter will keep you on a staff even if your area of responsibility isn't playing well.
Yeah, all those interpersonal relationships. But the more that NIL creeps into this and the transfer portal creeps into this, and when you're not successful, everything starts to trickle from the top down. And a lot of times it's a warning shot too to everybody else that has been with that coach. So it's a hard business. That's the best way I can put it. It's a hard business.
What's interesting is if you look across the landscape, especially in the Power Four conferences, barring some surprises, and there always are, we may not see a big list of head coaching changes coming up. You know, Arkansas certainly bears watching, Baylor, Purdue, but there aren't a lot of others.
Yeah, well, there's always going to be some surprises, as you mentioned, Larry. But I mentioned the big dollar buyouts. They're now the norm, and that is on most head coaches' contract. And that disruption not only costs money, but players' decisions, also both recruiting and the transfer portal. Those decisions become even more financially and also categorically when you start firing head coaches just one after the other.
Well, it's a difficult decision for the athletic director. He has to look at where the program is heading. I always thought that an AD, the most of the good ones, they look and see what that freshman class and sophomore class look like. Not where we are today. Obviously, we're not in a good position today. But do we have the players in the pipeline coming up or coming in, if you got a recruiting class coming in, that's going to enable us to play better in the next couple of years? I'll tell you one other thing, too, that you have to keep in mind is on this, and it ties in with the transfer portal. Under the rules now, when a head coach is fired, every player on that team immediately can get in, regardless of whether it's in the transfer portal area or not, or the timeline that they have to get in there. If that head coach is fired, every single player the next day can enter the portal. So there's more factors to just how well that head coach is doing at this particular time that an AD has to factor in before he makes his decision. And I'm sure at a place like we're talking about the Florida, but really any of the top schools, an AD is not going to do that without having his president behind him, because it's a money decision that you're going to have to pay a coach off for, and it's also a decision on where this program's heading. And, again, I would think most presidents and or chancellors would want to have a big say in what happened there.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, this is Coach to Coach. Our coaches are ready with lessons, X's and O's, and insight.
Bucks, cash, bread, coin, dough, bank, loot, cheddar, whatever you call it, the cash instant games from the Tennessee Lottery have lots of it. 4 great games absolutely loaded to the brim with top prizes from $50 to $1,000. Now that's a whole lot of cabbage, moolah, cheese, dinero, Benjamins. Well, you get the idea. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Coach to Coach rolls ahead with Georgia-Tennessee Saturday in Athens. Also Saturday night, Texas A&M battling New Mexico State. It's the 54th meeting of the Bulldogs and the Vols. As we break down Georgia, a prominent commentator said last week, it is clear that Georgia is not as talented and no longer elite. Dave McGinnis, I kind of see it more that they're just not as consistent a football team as we've come to expect this year. How do you break it down?
Yeah, Larry, well, consistency comes into it, but the depth of elite talent is not as it has been in the previous four seasons, evidenced by the overwhelming number of draft picks in the NFL in the last four seasons. You see it when you go to the combine, and you can, I mean, they don't have those types of numbers now stacked up like cordwood as like they have in the past for whatever reason.
Well, they'd won 42 straight regular season games. Let me repeat that. 42 straight regular season games, except for one loss to Alabama. So, you know, in this league, that's really unfathomable for that to happen on it. But what I see in this Georgia team is right now, offensively, they just are not scoring many points. As we talked about, they only scored 10 points against Ole Miss on a very short field. They're not really geeing and hawing on offense. And then defensively, where they've been so very strong, Mack hit it. I think they had five guys last year that were drafted in the first five rounds off that defense. So while they have still recruited very well, really well, they've been one of the top recruiting classes the last 4 or 5 years, they haven't got that chemistry or whatever. They're just not simply quite as good as they have been. And other teams in this league, Tennessee, Ole Miss, others, they have become better now. So they've kind of caught up with Georgia.
It starts at quarterback, where you get the sense that Carson Beck feels like that he's got to carry the load more.
Well, and that's probably true, but he is not that type of quarterback that can do that. Number one, he does not run the football well at all, so he's not a threat doing that. I think his longest run this year is 13 yards. They don't have many run plays for him. He is a good thrower. He's not a great thrower. I think he got a lot of talk around him about pros and all that type thing. We'll see what happens on that. But he's just a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. And he does not have the players around him. Biggest thing is that offensively now, this team is not as much a threat offensively for whatever reason, play calling, whatever it might be. They just simply are not – if you look at them from a defensive coordinator's standpoint, they're not an offense that gives you a whole lot of things to worry about.
Arian Smith, number 11, 6 foot, 185. I'm going to give you only the SEC catches because that's what's important now. 25 for 406, 16 yards a catch, 2 TDs, long of 55. Dominic Lavette, number 6, 5'10", 187. He's a senior. The SEC catches, 36, 364, 10-yard average, two touchdowns, long of 33. And then Dylan Bell, number 86, is a junior. He's a bigger receiver, 6'1", 210, 25 catches, 315 yards, three touchdowns, long of 67, about a 13-yard average. Those are his three top receivers.
When you get down to your third, but certainly your fourth-team running back, even though they're good players, they're not as good as those guys in front of them. So I think that's been a factor also. And Mac, offensive line's not been a real strength for them either this year.
No, and look, they're all homegrown guys, but we look at them, and that's been some of the talk, that the offensive line is not quite as dominant as they have been, which they have been. Their left tackle, number 71, Ernest Green, he's a redshirt sophomore, 6'4", 320. The left guard, 53, Dylan Fairchild, redshirt junior, 6'5", 315. Center, number 55, Jared Wilson, redshirt junior. They're all homegrown there, as I said, in Georgia, 6'3", 310. Yeah, their right guard, I mean, they all got the requisite size that they've had there in the past. Number 69, Tate Ratledge, redshirt senior, been there, 6'6", 320. Right tackle, 73, Xavier Truss, redshirt senior, 6'7", 320. So they got the physical characteristics. They just haven't put it together as well.
How would you expect the Bulldogs to play against that aggressive Tennessee defensive line, Doug?
Well, they see what Mac and I have been talking about the last few ball games in fits. I mean, they certainly see that Tennessee, from a linebacker and safety position, and at times from their up front, that they're not getting those hats where they need to be. So you can bet they're going to do that. A lot of that comes off misdirection. I think we're going to see a lot of trapping and pulling linemen around to kind of try to create those gaps. So that, I think that'll be number one. And number two, again, without a running quarterback, and Beck is not a running quarterback, when you're a defensive play caller and you know the quarterback on those RPOs is probably not going to do the R part of it, the run part of it. They're going to either hand it off or throw it. That really gives you an opportunity to let your defensive players not worry about a run. I think George is going to have to show that he'll run the football some. I'm not sure they will in this ball game, but
I agree with you. They're going to run counter gap plays, and if the quarterback, they'll try to get him on the edge with the run pass option, and the run won't be part of it, but at least get him out there on the edge. But they have to. When you look at it and the way the metrics are, they've got to be able to run the football.
On defense, injuries have been really a season-long problem in Athens. Especially early, Dave, that seemed to impact the Bulldogs' ability to stop the run.
Yeah, well, let's look at their line. The three-down lineman, number 13, defensive end, Mikael Williams is a junior, 6'5", 265. 10 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. I mean, he's a disruptor. He has a forced fumble. Their nose tackle, number 78, Nazir Stackhouse, senior, 6'3", 320. He's got 20 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. This is a guy you've got to be able to handle.
The Georgia defense, they are a pattern reading man coverage team. In other words, they end up, even when they're playing zone, they end up playing man because they match up with whoever comes in there. So they're not quite as good at that. You can bet. I think Tennessee will throw the ball deep more in this game than they have at any point all year long.
The winning numbers, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $7.5 billion for education in Tennessee.
59 and 80. Georgia ran it for just 59 yards against Ole Miss, just 80 in their loss to Alabama.
We'll likely see a very different game plan from the state game from Tennessee's defense. It's going to be just flipped around. Contain the run, make them throw the football in this game.
The number is 11. Georgia's defense has allowed just 11 touchdowns in 24 red zone trips.
Well, Kirby Smart, again, excellent coverage in the low red zone. Red zone defense has kept them in games, forcing field goal attempts rather than allowing touchdowns.
Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Coach to coach.